All right, boys and girls. Let me get... We are obviously running late today because there have been events and then followed by more events. I couldn't say this on the meta show, but my voice is super fucked up because we got a new bubbler. We're waiting for a really nice bong to come in, like a $200 bong, and we got a bubbler instead as a short-term thing because the bong delivery is taking a while, and so I got super fucked up last night to break the thing in, and my voice is extra hoarse, so bear with. All right, I'm going to try to get my notes up from the previous... It's not that I have baby lungs, it's that I've been smoking out of a Chillum a lot recently, and that thing fucks me up really bad while we were waiting for the bong to come in. All right, I'm bringing up our TPS report from the Loom meeting, which had my fireside notes on it, but a lot of those notes are now outdated. Actually, can I get one of the directors to link me that in a Loom, please? Because I had to reboot earlier for the show, and so I lost my notes. Thank you. Horrendous and hack of comment covered. Thanks, guys. Okay, first things first. One of the things that we have gotten questions about and is a unrelated to war thing, but is an important part of things that we do. We are going to do Secret Santa this year. There is a thread up, and we're going to be notifying people by way of the forums this year, and the thread is in the war room. So if somebody could go ahead and link the Secret Santa thread, that would be fantastic. Thank you very much. Yeah, so again, guys, we had lots of questions about this, and don't worry, we are going to get that going, regardless of any war-related stuff that's happening. So there you go. All right. Whew. So let's grind into this. One of the things that sort of shifted and got me distracted on the meta show is I'm not sure whether it's on Reddit yet, but it certainly will be, is Gobbins has posted a three-point announcement to Horde about what their goals in this war are, where they are, where they stand, blah, blah, blah. We have been very consistent in our position that we would love to fight on our Keepstars. Vili on the Legacy side has been very consistent on their position that they are only interested in dropping Keepstars at us, which they did again today, hoping that we will expend blood and treasure on them, and then that we will give up and go to Saarinen. Now, I don't want to say that the scenario that we're looking at here is all sunshine and roses. Like, stuff is definitely ugly, but I want to talk about the boundaries of that, what looks good, what looks bad, where we stand, and why I keep repeating things like, this war lasts for one day longer than the enemy's willpower. Well, I was kind of worried about coming up here and telling you guys that today, just, you know, one day longer than the other guy. But with this Gobbins post, we have... some interesting proof of that. Okay, so let's dive into that. So what would look bad? What would look really bad is our inability to contest hostile eye hubs. If we were in a scenario where we were unable to take hostile eye hubs back, we would be essentially in deep shit, because then the enemy could wait for 35 days, put a jammer up, and blow up our Keepstars. We have, since day one, said we want to fight this war, defensive timers, on our Keepstars. The enemy has said the entire time on this war, they want to avoid that. Well, Gobbins has just said that their victory conditions involve basically burning down 1DQ1, giving us the finger, and then going off and doing whatever and leaving tests their own devices. So if PanFam has decided that they are bored of the Vili strategy and that they are actually going to make a hit on 1DQ1, that is the fucking dream. We have 5 Keepstars there. We have more than enough ISK to core them all as needed. Not that that's needed until January 12th or whatever it is. But that is a scenario that we would be delighted to have. Like, absolutely, please, let's fucking fight in 1DQ1. I had been concerned that the Villy strategy was going to continue. The main fear of the Villy strategy is that you guys fuck off, or you guys break, or you guys run and stop turning up. The Villy strategy, of course, being to blow up our iHubs, and then they put theirs down, but then we are able to take them back. They have to hold a hub for 35 days to be able to get a jammer up, and then to be able to blow up one of our Keepstars without risk. But what we are seeing over the course of this war is that FuzzySov is designed in favor of offense, regardless of who is doing that. So essentially what we've seen in this last week and a half or so is just relentless trading of iHubs back and forth. They can't hold them. We can't hold them. It's, you know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So that kind of interferes with the Villy strategy. I think that their plan today was big loud noises, T5ZI. This thing about, oh my God, we're going to block off access to Fountain is something that they've had to come up with to basically make an excuse for the fact that we haven't broken and given up just because they have a Keepstar next door. That was, I think, what they were hoping for. It did not happen. And so now they're saying they did that to cut us off from Fountain. Initiative has full deployed to Esoteria. So saying that they're covering something or other in Fountain is just window dressing, essentially. All right, so what do we got? I'll be going through my notes here, which are kind of interesting because a lot of them have just been like the table's kind of been flipped over by this, which is good. All right. Let me take some questions here while I'm going through my notes. Basically, we have to go back to the drawing board and analyze what we're seeing here from this Gobbin stuff. What I think we're going to do is what we have been doing before. Focus on Helm's Deep. Make sure that you are in a... I mean, actually, this is a complete game changer. I told you guys we were going to do a Fireside and right after the meta show. And then this thing hit here. And so what we're seeing is essentially a potential breach between the direction that Legacy wants to go and the direction that PanFam wants to go. And, All right. So here's what I'm seeing. If this does not come to a conclusion, if PASPI, if Legacy is giving up Esoteria and moving into Delve, at the same time that PanFam is saying that their exit is something involving Faction Fortizars or burning 1DQ down, the only way out for Legacy and for the PanFam side is to do the 1DQ one hit, which is something that we want very much. We would love to be fighting on these Keepstars. We know that the iHub stuff can't be held one way or the other by either side, which means that their jammer strategy doesn't work. We might see a scenario here where the PanFam side is pushing more to do things their way, which is to say, you know, actually having a fight, rather than the Legacy PASPI side of things, where they try to avoid fights, they try to avoid the Keepstars, and they think they can just drop more Keepstars. Like, at this point, they can't really drop more. I thought that they were going to be done with dropping Keepstars and fucking NPC Delve. Like, YZ9, okay, well, they can't drop more Keepstars. Well, apparently, they're like, okay, well, we'll drop one more right by 1DQ1, and this time, goons will go to Saarinen. So, no, I mean, they're slightly closer to us than they were before. They're moving next door to us, but if they aren't hitting our Keepstars, then how do you get rid of us? And that is the situation that, I mean, maybe that's why Gobbins posted this after they did T5ZI. We're still here. We're still fighting. They're like, okay, well, it was totally to cover Fountain. We're going to do something else. And here's our exit conditions and whatever. But this is really quite interesting. I mean, I don't know if my brain is broken because of the confusion of two different coalitions trying to take out our coalition and then watching the mixed messages and trying to go, what the fuck is going on here? But, yeah. There are capital ships on public contracts in 1DQ1. That is something we keep an eye on, but it's also something that the enemies will do, so it's not something that we can necessarily control or deal with. We do try to look out for people doing goonfucker or other bullshit things. Thank you for bringing that up, Asinus, so we will take a look into that. Do we actually have a public post of the Gobbins thing? I have a copy of it from a Black Hand agent, and I don't want it to be posted from the one I have because it's potentially timestamped for that agent. But this is something that Gobbins pinged to all of Horde. Okay, so we're gonna do this. So yeah, guys, if I'm talking about this a lot and I'm saying it's like, oh my god, this is like kind of a weird scenario, I want you guys to all see the same thing that I am, and it is Intel. We're gonna get sanitized, and Jay is about to get it posted here shortly. So bear with it. Like I said, well, I'm not kidding when I'm saying like we're kind of doing it live here, because this is why you keep fighting no matter what for as long as you fucking can, and just one day longer than the other guy, because if you have that attitude and that level of commitment, either the enemy is going to get sick of their strategy and have to change strategy, which in this case it appears that a 1DQ1 hit is, thank God, on the fucking table. Please attack us on our keep stars. The alternative, of course, is the Vili strategy, which is to wait until January 12th and assume that we will be out of ISK with which to core our keep stars, and they will magically go away, which is not the case either. Rudy, I would give that pup a 12 out of 10. I'm a sucker for cute pups. The cute pup is in scroll back. There you go. We're going to pause and wait here for a minute so you guys can see the intel that we're talking about and then read it. Rather than just having to rely on me telling you what's up. While we are waiting for the Gobbins post to be sanitized, please go ahead and post your cute pupper so we can all stare at some puppies. I'm a fan of that. Cats are acceptable too. I think it's going to be kind of funny if we're just sitting here posting puppy and cat pictures while waiting for the Gobbins post.
I couldn't find it because I have like a million different fucking servers for the fucking pings. I found it now. One second.
Okay, hold on.
You have a jank because then I stop.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's the kind of thing that once you get it, just broadcast it to all, not just to post it in Elysium. Let's let everybody see it so everybody knows what we're dealing with. Now, there's a question about what can line members do to help out in this war, and it's a great question. So there's several things. The most important thing is defensive wars. It's important for everybody to understand, and I've said this over and over again, so you might get sick of me saying it, but a combination of two things. One, defensive wars, you're always losing a defensive war until you win, right? Because the nature of a defensive war is you're on the back foot defending until it gets to the point where you exhaust the attackers, and then you're still there and you're still alive, and then magically, hey, you've won the defensive war. But all defensive wars are nasty, ugly things until such point that you turn it around. So understand that this is a nasty, ugly thing. That's also why I keep saying things like you have to hold out for one day longer than the bad guys do. But that's just general emotional advice. So in terms of practical things, slowing down the enemy, making them miserable, is important. So what does that mean? That involves going on drama fleets, going on quorum fleets, going on these astro and bomber fleets that we're doing. Basically, go on fleets if possible. Another thing is that if you see people who are suffering, like if you see people who are like stressed out and freaked out or whatever, be there for each other. One of the things that we've always repeated from these hell wars, these lessons that we've learned in the Great War, is that it's not about how much stuff you have. It's not about how much ISK you have. What really keeps an organization going is people fighting for the people in the trenches next to them, right? It is about each other. And that is how we are able to keep going forward day after day after day, fleeting up, continuing to fight regardless of the odds. And then you get breaks in that, such as this hilarious thing.
All right, I linked it. I'll link it a few more times.
Okay, Jay has linked it. So a couple of different things that Atrium is posting here, which is also very important as a practical thing. My brain is spinning around all this politics shit. So we are in Helm's Deep. What is Helm's Deep? Why does it matter? Helm's Deep, of course, is E3. It is where we are staging our capital class vessels, and it is where we are defending 1DQ1 from. Now, if you can read this Gobbins post that has now been linked around, you'll have an opportunity to see that they are setting up some very different victory conditions for the PanFam side of things than for the Legacy side of things. If you heard the clips from Villy on the Meta Show, you know that they are, instead of burning their ships behind them, they have essentially accepted that they are going to be losing Esoteria to the combined forces of Stainrus, Bastion, and Initiative, and are essentially giving up and going all in on Delve, but doing it kind of slowly and not really all in kind of way, because they are still, as of Trash Talk Tuesday, you could hear clips of Villy talking about how they are not going to be attacking our Keepstars. Well, lo and behold, over here, here's Gobbins saying that they're going to fucking siege 1DQ1. They're living right next door to us. I would be delighted. Please siege our shit. That is exactly what we are looking for. We can keep doing this slap fight stuff back and forth on the Legacy side of things with they blow up our iHubs and then they blow up and we blow up their iHubs because they haven't been able to take and hold them. So that we can keep doing indefinitely. But I think we would all enjoy some fucking Keepstar defenses properly, and especially hit on 1DQ1 is just like, just the fucking dream right there. But there's a lot of things in there. There's the second rinsing of Fountain is just a bunch of excuse making. Initiative has started attacking Esoteria, and Esoteria is very much on fire. Villy has essentially admitted that they are going to not be able to defend Esoteria, and their hope is that they break us and get us to go to Saarinen and give up such that Test can have a home while Esoteria burns behind them. So that's pretty cool. And you can really kind of see which direction Gobbins is headed in with the future plans and Helm's Deep stuff. Like, there are like five or six different excuses and outs just peppered through this war update. So that's cool. I was a little bit worried about coming up here on a fireside and, you know, telling people, here's how to hold out. Here's why we're holding out. This is why we hold the line. This is why we go one day longer than the other guys. And, you know, to be fair, like, expect that we're going to lose iHubs. Expect that if you have stuff that's not in a Keepstar and not in Helm's Deep, like in Helm's Deep, things are way more secure than otherwise. But if you have stuff that's outside of Helm's Deep that is not in a Keepstar, it is at more risk of getting blown up, right? Like, iHubs are trading, Citadels we cannot guarantee the defense of if they're outside of Helm's Deep, especially if it's not a Keepstar. The Keepstars seem like they're pretty fucking secure, though. And now you have this bunch of stuff from Gobbins into the mix. So we're in a very different position than we were just a little bit ago. So, I mean, essentially what you're seeing here is a formal abandon. I'm kind of doing this real time, guys, because my brain is ka-chunk-ka-chunk-ka-chunking through it. But what you're essentially seeing here is a formal repudiation of the goons are toxic. We're doing this to get rid of Goon Swarm. We're going to try to get rid of the Mitanni. We're trying to get rid of goons from the game. He has narrowed down his casus belli to we're doing it because of the 40 faction Fortizars, and we're doing it to hurt goons' economy and whatever. So this is a very different scenario from the war start. So, yeah. Let's unanchor the faction forts in 1DQ1 and deny them the faction fort kill mail. You know what? I would prefer, like, one of the things that we have missed out on is just straight up big set piece battles, because the legacy coward strategy has been to focus only on the iHubs, drop Keepstars in our faces, and completely ignore things. And their theory of case was that today I would get up in front of you guys and wave the white flag, and that would be that, because they put a Keepstar in T5ZI, and that thus magically things are different. Well, things are magically different in the sense that I guess they can cover Fountain, which nobody was paying attention to or really investing in at the moment. It's not like the initiative has put like new Keepstars down in Fountain, so whatever. All right, so let me take some questions here. But again, as you guys can see, we are busy sort of reading the tea leaves as well as everybody else is. I would like everybody to prepare for an attack on 1DQ1. I think that what we're seeing here, and what we have to, regardless of whether it's true or not, we have to prepare for it, is we have to take this missive from Gobbins as an announcement that the PanFam side of things is going to take a different strategy in this war. Clearly taking iHubs and putting Keepstars down in front of us and then losing your iHubs and not being able to maintain jammers is not an effective strategy. It has not worked for Vili and the legacy side. Esoteria is on fire. They want to move into Delve. But we are still here. We're not going anywhere. And so we need to take PanFam at their word that they are going to make an attempt at 1DQ1 and that we are going to see some proper fucking defensive fights here, which I'm quite excited about. There's a question of what actual value does the Faction Force have for us? So that's a good question. This is from Vizio. What is the actual value of the Faction Force in 1DQ1? What makes a faction fort significant is not just that it has a different model on it and it's affiliated with a former conquerable station. The in-game mechanical significance comes from the rigs. And those rigs are created when the Keepstar, when the faction Fortizar was transformed from a conquerable outpost into a faction Fortizar, which means that if you have unanchored and handed off faction Fortizars, they have already lost their super special rigs that makes them cool. That's another reason why we have them in what we call like the tribute sphere. Like we just have them spread out to look cool in our trophy room. If they had significant in-game advantages that were separate from the rigs, we would have been deploying them. That's another reason why we didn't yank down our faction Fortizars in places like Aquarius or in Period Basis. We refitted them into speed bumps for the bad guys, because the moment that you unanchor a faction fort, by definition, your rigs go boom. Then it's just a Fortizar with a fancy model on it, from what I understand. There's a question here about expecting more allies coming to our side and having good fights. Well, if there was, I wouldn't be talking about it on live TV or on a fireside, right? Like that is definitely a future plansy kind of question where, if there are reinforcements on the way, for God's sakes, you wouldn't tell anybody. So what's to stop Happy from just dumping 4 times our numbers for timers we need to win this war? That's a very good question, and so let's go through that. As I've said before, we know that iHubs can trade hands back and forth. We would be in a very different scenario if we could not take our hubs back from the bad guys. Like if they could take hubs and then they could defensively hold them against us, then we would have a much more dark picture. I'm not going to say that this situation is great for anyone. It's clear that everybody is exhausted and everybody is tired because otherwise we wouldn't be seeing this bunch of stuff from Gobbins. We wouldn't be seeing this stuff from Vili and his talking about how they're going to move into Delve, but you know they can't really defend Esoteria and blah, blah, blah. So in terms of going 4-1 against us, clearly the Fozzy stuff is not easy to defend. We can blow up their iHubs, they can blow up our iHubs, but there's a reason why they're not attacking our Keepstars, which is they know from Fountain that we can defend them very effectively even with just subcaps. In our case, in Delve, we can use supercaps to defend our Keepstars, which is why all the way through this war, our theory of case has been Keepstar fights, Keepstar fights, Keepstar fights, Keepstar fights. And the PASP theory of case has been avoid them, avoid them. They drop more Keepstars in our faces and want us to go away instead of having to fight on all these Keepstars. So that is how you make up the numbers advantage, because goons love Keepstar fights. And I believe, and could be wrong, it could be wrong, and we will find out if these guys actually do what they say they're going to do and they fucking siege 1DQ1, we'll find out. If we say that Keepstar defense is the way to go and only 100 goons turn up, then that's GG, right? Like if we do Keepstar defenses and people don't turn up, then that's it. On the other hand, I think my theory is that goons love Keepstar defenses and that they will turn up, and that the advantage, the defensive multiplier you get from a Keepstar is so significant that it's favorable to us. And I think that the enemy's avoidance of those speaks to it. Like we know from the Fountain fights that they were like, oh my God, I don't ever want to do this again. I hate, you know, Keepstars are so overpowered, blah, blah, blah. And they have consistently avoided them with the exception of 49, which we were gearing up to defend. And then a tree fell on Asher's house. So we missed the armor layer. And that was that. So the Keepstar defense stuff, this is good questions. I'm glad. I know that people are tired. Apparently the enemy is tired too. Everyone is tired. This has been a very long war. So it's important to go through things such that I'm not just like blowing smoke up your asses. So why are Keepstars a big deal to defend? They're a big deal because you can fight while you're tethered. They have a doomsday weapon. They have a PDS. They are essentially a massive force multiplier when you are deployed defensively. Which we discovered, we always sort of thought, you know, we'd always been on Keepstar offense, historically speaking, once we realized how you can use these specialist doctrines like super trains and like anti-fighter feroxes and a whole bunch of like wacky, janky bullshit, we got real excited about defending our Keepstars. And then understandably, realizing this, Vili and that crew have been trying to avoid fighting us on our Keepstars as much as they possibly can. And that's why it's the full force multiplier effect. We believe our theory of case is that we can make up the difference in forces by fighting on Keepstars because they're force multiplier. Hopefully that makes a little bit more sense. All righty. Do I think that the announcement of Vili moving to Delve sparked this decision from Horde? I can't speak to that one way or the other. Like, this just happened, and so I don't really have... I didn't want to, like, delay the fireside for me to, like, go, like, noodle on it and, like, smoke weed and mull, like, what's going on in Gobbins' head? What's going on in Vili's head? Which direction is what going? Blah, 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 because I figured, you know, stuff looks pretty, like, scary outside the windows, so I need to be like, hey, guys, like, we're still doing the fireside, we're doing this. I wanted to, like, talk to you guys and show you what I'm looking at so you understand the situation. I didn't want to, like, put that off. But I do need to basically go smoke up and noodle on what is going on, what is the meaning of this, and what does it indicate about what cards they have in their hand. It certainly shows that they're more tired than I had anticipated, because there would be no reason for Gobbins to post this thing that is full of excuses and justifications if he didn't have a need to like acknowledge to his people that they're exhausted. So that's pretty cool. Can we go hit the T5 Keepstar, please? That's a good question, which is, should we be attacking all of the bad guys when they are attacking us? And the answer is no. We should be fighting defensively. We should be forcing them into a defensive scenario, because if we try to attack Hill both ways when they outnumber us on big form-ups, we will fail. We need to fight them defensively on ground that we choose, where we have a force multiplier. They would love us to attack their Keepstars, because then we would be playing offense when we're the ones on defense. We have to understand, we are on defense. We have to be gritty. We have to make hard decisions. And it would be great for us to jack ourselves off and go like, oh, we can just go take out their Keepstars. But when they put 3,000 people on a Keepstar and they have a huge defensive bonus, and our theory is that when we put 1,000 people on a Keepstar and we have a huge defensive bonus, we'll be able to handle things. I don't think that's a realistic possibility until, I mean, if Horde leaves the war and like Test is living in T5 ZI, then yeah, then that's on. Like, if at any moment PanFam stops babysitting Test in T5, Test is fucked and the entire galaxy knows it, which is one of the questions that we have to ask about why is Gobbins making this post. We'll have to see. Question about how I do plans. It's a combination of things. There's like Ritalin mittens, which is like my daytime normal like ADHD medication, like I'm being sober and thinking about things. And then I when it's weed mittens time, oftentimes I will get high and then just sort of like sit around and let my intuition go wild. And then the next day I'll try to like basically square the circle and like see if weed mittens and Ritalin mittens agree and see, you know, how stuff works. So there you go. Do we have a single point of failure highlighted by the keep armor timer, and has it been fixed? Yeah, we have occasionally in wars, you have single points of failure, like especially if you have a plan for a big super cap fight, and that was going to be our first big Keepstar armor layer timer, and it was contingent upon Asher leading things, and a tree fell on his house on the armor timer. When it came time for the whole timer, we had people around, but on the whole timer, you don't have the EHP bonus because we plate the keep stars, so they have massive EHP on the armor layer, but you don't get the benefits from the plating on the hull layer. And on the hull layer as well, if it goes boom, there's no more keep star there. So our plan for defensive fights on the keep stars does tend to revolve around the armor layer. That's not the single point of failure. The single point of failure there is a tree fell on Asher's house, but that is what we would call an act of God. I can't clone Asher or choose necessarily when we're going to have who on our A-Team FC roster around to do things, but it is something we're certainly aware of and will hopefully have checks in place for next time. All right, let me see if there's anything else. I mean, if I could clone people effectively, I would have probably tried to take over the world by now. Just saying. All right, so I am going to get back to work because I need to do a lot of like scheming and shit because things have changed quite a bit in the last 2 hours or so. We know a lot more about the will of our enemies, about divergences and their plans and what have you. So keep on keeping on. If you are freaked out about something, feel free to talk to your corp directors about things. We understand that the war looks dark and scary. I mean, the bad guys are banging pots and pans right next door to us because they expected us to be so spooked that we were going to freak out and run just because they put a keep star next door to us in T5ZI. They still have to hit our keeps. And if we are lucky, PanFam will actually force Pappy being like the legacy side, I meant. PanFam might force the legacy side into actually sieging 1DQ1, which would be like the fucking dream. So let's prepare for that and go forward accordingly. So thank you all for coming. I'm going to get to work and scheming and analyzing and dude, what the fucking.
Answer my question. It's very important.
What is your question?
I'll paste it again.
Would I fuck a clone of myself? I mean, I don't think that counts as fucking. I think that counts as masturbation. I mean, like, if you wouldn't, then I don't know. I guess it depends upon whether you're vain and you like your appearance, but I think I'm pretty hot, so, you know. All right. There's more follow-up questions regarding that. I'm going to sign out from that. It was me topping or bottoming the clone, and the question is, who is... I mean, that's fucking confusing. I mean, my natural thing would be top because that's how I'm wired, but then my clone would also be a top. And so we probably wouldn't actually do anything like that because you can't have two DOMs fooling around. It doesn't really work. All right. With that tremendous distraction, we're going to call this fireside over for now. Keep on keeping on. Read that Goblins post, and we're going to prepare to defend 1DQ1, because apparently PanFam has found their balls, even if Legacy is still hoping that we'll just up and go away. Thank you for coming. Let's get back to work.